श्रीमद् भागवत श्री कृष्ण जन्म लीला कथा बाय हिज होलीनेस राधा गोविंद दास गोस्वामी महाराज इन ह्यूस्टन 1996।
जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम राम। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भजन करने वाले यहाँ के भक्तों को मैं धन्यवाद देता हूँ।
आई थैंक द डिवोटीज हू हैव अरेंज्ड दिस श्रीमद् भागवत कथा।
श्रोताओं का मैं बहुत आभारी हूँ।
एंड आई एम वेरी ग्रेटफुल टू ऑल द डिवोटीज हू हैव कम टू हियर।
अपना अमूल्य समय निकाल कर भगवान
दे हैव टेकन टाइम आउट ऑफ देयर वेरी
उत्साह बढ़ा रहे हैं।
प्रेशियस दे हैव टेकन देयर प्रेशियस टाइम आउट ऑफ देयर बिजी लाइफ टू कम इन हियर।
बिजी लाइफ में थोड़ा समय निकाल करके यहाँ आना है, बहुत बड़ा त्याग है।
इट इज अ लॉट ऑफ रिनंसिएशन टू लिव इन दिस कंट्री एंड टू टेक सम टाइम आउट टू ड्राइव ऑल द वे टू द टेंपल टू हियर।
कथा कहेंगे, समय बहुत ज्यादा बीत चुका है।
टुडे आई विल स्पीक फॉर वन आवर, देयर इज नॉट सो मच टाइम लेफ्ट टुडे।
भागवत की परंपरा है कि भागवत का महात्म्य कहा जाता है।
फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल इट इज द परंपरा और द ट्रेडिशन ऑफ द भागवत टू स्पीक अबाउट द ग्लोरीज ऑफ द भागवत। एंड एज यू कैन सी दिस एज इज द एज ऑफ एडवर्टाइजमेंट। विदाउट एडवर्टाइजमेंट पीपल डू नॉट गेट फेथ इन एनीथिंग। इन दिस वर्ल्ड द मोस्ट यूजलेस एंड इनसिग्निफिकेंट थिंग्स आर एडवर्टाइज्ड।
जैसी परंपरा है उसके अनुसार मैं प्रारंभ कर रहा हूँ।
सो दिस एडवर्टाइजमेंट इज ऑल्सो अ पार्ट ऑफ द श्रीमद् भागवतम।
ऋषियों ने पूछा,
सो अकॉर्डिंग टू द ट्रेडिशन आई एम डिस्क्राइबिंग द ग्लोरीज ऑफ द भागवतम।
सौनक जी पूछेंगे, सौनक जी समस्त शास्त्रों के।
अपॉन अ टाइम इन द होली प्लेस ऑफ नैमिषारण्य sages had assembled to hear Suta Goswami. The rishis, there were 88,000 rishis that had assembled to hear Suta Goswami, and they chose Saunak. Saunak ji, they had chosen him as their representative to ask questions. He was not only more senior in age, but he was also considered to be most advanced. So they had all gotten together and decided that Saunak, Sri Saunak, would ask any questions on their behalf. Because if 88,000 sadhus, rishis, everybody raised their hand, one question, it will be a great disturbance. Saunak ji, he would understand the feelings in everyone's minds and hearts, and he would ask questions on their behalf. So Saunak, Sri Saunak asked Suta Goswami, "My dear Suta Goswami, you have studied all the shastras. What conclusion have you come to? What is the essence of all the shastras? You have also heard from the spiritual masters. So what conclusion did you draw from all the scriptures that you have studied and heard? Please tell us a path which is easy to perform and which can remove all the sufferings of this world."
और दूसरे लोग नहीं पूछते थे। देयताम परमम श्रेय पावना नाम च पावनम कृष्ण प्राप्ति कर्म शाश्वत साधनम तद बदाधुना। ये कहते हैं जो कल्याण करने वालों में सबसे अधिक कल्याण कर रहा हो, और पवित्र करने वालों में सबसे अधिक पवित्र कर सकता है।
The path which is the fastest way to deliver of all the paths for deliverance, and what the path that is also the most purifying and which can give us Shri Krishna. Please describe that path. Please explain to us this kind of sadhana. This kind of sadhana, he's asking for these three specific points.
Aisa kaun sa sadhana? Sadhana ki teen visheshta puch rahe hain swami.
He's asking for three specialities. One that gives Krishna, also gives Shreya, bhakti, easy bhakti, which gives bhakti, and what makes one purified. In other words, destroys the jiva's ignorance. Please explain to us what method will increase our jnana, vairagya and bhakti, our knowledge, renunciation and our devotion. Tell us some way that these can be increased very quickly.
Maya moha nirasasya vaishnava kriyate katham. Vaishnav log maya moha ko kaise dur karte?
How can Vaishnavas destroy maya and moha? Please tell us.
Guru ki badi mahima hai.
And they're saying, spiritual master, there's many glories. You are our guru.
Sukham, surapuru, swarga sampadam, priyachati guru pritam. Aur ya kah rahe hain ki guru ki badi mahima hai. Aap humare guru hain. Chinta mani, lok sukham, surapuru, swarga sampadam, priyachati guru pritam, vaikuntham yogi durlabham.
It is said that Chintamani, the Paras stone, it gives worldly enjoyment. Chintamani Paras stone is when you touch to something and it becomes gold. So this Chintamani Paras stone gives worldly enjoyment, and Kalpa tree, Kalpa Vriksha, this tree can give heavenly enjoyment. Swarga, but Guru, if he is pleased, he can give Vaikuntha. It is difficult or almost impossible even for the yogis. Please tell us a way that our sufferings can be mitigated. So Sutta Goswami says that Srimad Bhagavatam, speaking and hearing, Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, he says directly that Srimad Bhagavatam is the path. Then he says that when Parikshit Maharaj left his body and he went back to Godhead, even Vidhata, Lord Brahma, he was bewildered. How can it be? Just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, one can get Krishna. Only by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days, somebody can go to Krishna Loka. How is it possible? The rishis, they do tapasya, austerities, for so many lifetimes, and they're not able to make it. How is it possible? Only 7 days hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? This way, Lord Brahma was bewildered. So he went to his dham, and he made a scale for weighing. And one side, he put jnana, tapasya, brahmacharya, yajna, dan, all these things. And the other side, he put Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam became heavy. And in front of all the rishis, he weighed in this way. In other words, he thought in his mind, he weighed the two sides. And he realized that Srimad Bhagavatam was heavy. And then Suta Goswami says that Srimad Bhagavatam is so glorious that when Parikshit Maharaj was about to begin hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, the demigods led by King Indra, they came with a pot of nectar. They said that they brought this pot of nectar, and Parikshit Maharaj is afraid that he is going to be bitten. He's making arrangements because he is going to be bit by the snake Takshak in 7 days and die. So we brought this nectar for him. If he drinks this, he will not die. And in return, we would like to sit and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Dev Goswami said, in other words, you have come to purchase this Srimad Bhagavatam katha. Had you just come and sat down quietly in the assembly, I would have let you hear. But instead, but you brought this pot of nectar, and you're trying to equate it with this nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. How can there be a comparison between this nectar of yours and this transcendental nectar? Sukadev Goswami told the sages to have these demigods out of here. They're not adhikari, they don't deserve. So this Bhagavad Katha is durlabh, is difficult to attain even for the demigods. The demigods had come to exchange, and this is why Sukadev Goswami was disappointed. He said, you don't understand the value of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is Sri Suta Goswami is explaining that this is the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Everybody else was allowed to sit and hear, but the demigods were thrown out of the assembly. The value of this Katha Amrita cannot be compared with any other kind of Amrita. So, Suta Goswami is telling a story that one time Narad Muni was wandering around this earth and he reached Haridwar up near the Himalayas. So Narad Muni, first he went to Haridwar, then from there he went to Kurukshetra, then he went to Naimisaranya, Banaras, Gaya, Pulashram, Ganga Sagar, Jagannath Puri, then he went to South India. In this way he was doing Yatra, and then he reached Vrindavan. Then in Vrindavan he saw something very amazing. What did he see? He saw that one very beautiful young woman was sobbing over two very elderly men. These two elderly men, they were looking just like dead persons. And this young woman, she was crying and sobbing, and she was looking in all four directions. And there were a few ladies were with her, they were serving her. So Narad Muni was very amazed. He went to her, and naturally, being kind, he went to her and he asked, my dear mother, why are you crying? What's the problem? Who are you? And who are these two elderly men? And who are these ladies serving you? And why are you crying? Why are you so sad? And then this woman, young woman, she says, I am bhakti. I am Lord Krishna's bhakti devi. And she said, I am bhakti and these two are my two sons, Gyan and Vairagya, knowledge and renunciation. Whenever somebody engages in bhakti, devotion to Krishna, he automatically gets Gyan and Vairagya. These are my sons, but because of the time factor, they have become so old. And these ladies, they are rivers, Ganga, etc. And they are taking care of me, they serve me. So Narad Muni thought, what is this? The mother is so young and the sons have become so old. So Bhakti Maharani is telling her story to Narad Muni. She is telling Narad Muni, I was born in South India. And in Karnataka, I grew up into a youth. And in Maharashtra, in some places, I was much respected. For example, in Pandharpur. But when I came to Gujarat, I became ill and very old. Bhakti Maharani is saying herself, Gujaratis are easily tricked and they are divided into different sects. They are devotional people, but very easily people take them to other sects. This Bhakti Maharani is saying, I went to Gujarat and I became old. You are all from Gujarat, but you must be thinking, what is he saying? Here we see it's mostly Gujarati people who do bhakti. But on other panthas and other processes, also it is mainly Gujaratis. Actually, Bhakti Maharani became old in Gujarat. Then she said, somehow or other, with my two sons, I wandered around till I reached Vrindavan. As soon as I reached Vrindavan, immediately I became a fresh youth. But my two sons are still old, dead looking. The influence of Braj Bhumi is devotion, is bhakti. So, but nobody cares there for Gyan and Vairagya. Nobody cares for knowledge and renunciation in Vrindavan. They are naturally engaged in bhakti. So I'm very much anxious because I have become young, but my two sons are so old. Please, Munivar, you do something. I'm sure you can figure out some way. All the great personalities are your disciples. Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj. She was pleading, Narad Muni. Please help me. Generally, all the great personalities are your devotees. Please remove my this suffering. So Narad Muni said, okay, you don't worry. This is Kali Yuga. Actually, the whole world has become covered by the influence of Kali Yuga. Even the sadhus have become corrupt. There is so much exploitation, and all the holy places, they have been taken over by malichas, yavanas. But don't worry, I will find out some way to make your sons also youthful. So, first Narad Muni started to read Vedas and Vedantas. Nothing happened. Then he read the whole Bhagavad Gita. When he read Bhagavad Gita, very tiny change came. Instead of looking like dead persons, it seemed like they were taking some breaths. Narad Muni was becoming very much worried. He said, I am working so hard. I have spoken Vedas, Vedantas, Bhagavad Gita, and these two have not even sat. They did not even sit up. Neither Bhakti Devi is becoming pleased, nor Jnana or Vairagya are becoming healthy. Then there was a voice from the sky. The voice said, Jnana and Vairagya would not become healthy in this way. You have to do some satkarma. The voice in the sky mentioned the word satkarma. He said, you have to do some satkarma for these two personalities. Otherwise, they will not become youthful or healthy. And satkarma means pious, auspicious activity. And the voice also said, this satkarma would be performed by saintly persons. But they did not mention the names of these saintly persons. Narad Muni said, you just wait, persevere. I am going to do something about this, and if I do not spread your glories in every home, then I will not be called a servant of Krishna. I will establish you in every home, in every person. Narad Muni made an oath that he will preach bhakti, devotion to Krishna in every home. Narad Muni left to go to the Himalayas to see Bhagavan Nar Narayan, to question them, what is this satkarma? And on the way, Narad Muni met the four Kumaras. He was actually going to Badrika Ashram to see Naranarayan. And then he met the four Kumaras, his ancestors, his elder brothers, Lord Balaram's first sons. They were all brahmacharis. They saw Narad Muni walking so quick, fast, and in great anxiety. So they stopped Narad Muni and they said, Naradji, you're looking like a householder. You look like in so much anxiety. You're walking like a householder. There's not a smile on your face. The householders are always busy, anxiety. You are a sannyasi. You have no business in this material world, no accumulation, you are free. Where are you going? Actually, Narad Muni was in so much anxiety, he had not even offered obeisances to his elder brothers, the four Kumaras. So Narad Muni explained to them that this is the story, and Bhakti Devi, he told the sad story of Bhakti Devi and her sons. So he said, I have to make her sons youthful again and install her in every home, in every person. This is why I'm going to see the Lord. I did so much. I read Ved Vedanta, Bhagavad Gita. Now what do I do? And then there was this voice from the sky, and they said, do satkarma. And I don't know what is the meaning of this satkarma. So I'm going to go and see the Lord and question Him. And the voice said that this satkarma would be performed by saintly persons. So who could be more saintly than you four brothers? You please explain to me, what is this satkarma? I have to do this for Bhakti and her sons. So upon hearing this, the four Kumaras, they started laughing. They said, oh, how can you be so bewildered? How did you get covered with this ignorance? Don't you know when Vyasadev was bewildered, you are the one who told him to write the Bhagavad. You removed his disappointment. This Bhagavatam is Satkarma. Muni said that this Srimad Bhagavatam is the fruit of all the Vedic literatures, and I have spoken all the Vedic literatures to Bhakti Devi, and if the hearing the Vedic literatures nothing happened to Gyan Vairagya, then what good would the Bhagavatam do? I have already given the whole tree to them. So if the whole tree didn't help, what good the fruit will do? So the four Kumaras said that in the tree, from the root to the very top, is the juice life of the tree. But when all that juice is concentrated into a fruit, the essence of the tree is in the fruit. Then the taste of the fruit is different than the taste of chewing on the tree. If you take the chips or cut some of the wood from the tree and you try to eat it, that will have a different taste than if you take the fruit and you try to eat it. Take for example sugar cane. Sugar cane from the bottom to the top is full of sweet juice. But that same sweet juice, when it's extracted and boiled, it turns into sugar. It has a different taste. Then they said to Narad Muni, so this Srimad Bhagavatam is the fruit, is a ripened fruit of the Vedic literatures. So you please recite this to Gyan and Vairagya, and they will become youthful and healthy. In other words, in all the living entities, they will have knowledge and renunciation, and they will have bhakti. So Narad Muni said, so Narad was now satisfied, and he said to the four Kumaras that now you will speak the Bhagavatam and I will arrange for it. So, the four Kumaras spoke this Srimad Bhagavatam in Haridwar. The Vaishnavas call it Haridwar, and the devotees of Lord Shiva, they call it Hardwar. So it's called Gangadwar. So it's actually Haridwar and Hardwar, because Badrinath, you go from Gangadwar and also Kedarnath, you go from Gangadwar. So it is both a door to Hari and Lord Shiva. So Narad Muni arranged for this katha, and the four Kumaras spoke. And in the whole universe, it was the news had spread that the four Kumaras were going to speak. So everyone gathered. Just like when Bhishma Dev was speaking, all the great personalities, they gathered from all over the universe. So in the same way, the news had spread, and all the great rishis and sadhus and devotees, they arrived from all over the universe, all over the world, to come and hear this Bhagavatam. Everyone had heard that the four Kumaras are speaking, and Narad Muni is the main person hearing, and Bhakti and her sons will be brought over there. After the recitation of this Bhagavatam in 7 days, Gyan and Vairagya, the two sons of Bhakti, they sat up, they were totally transformed into youth, 16-year-old fresh youth, and Bhakti Devi had become very pleased. Also at the end of 7 days, when the Srimad Bhagavatam was complete, the Supreme Lord, he appeared, and Bhakti Devi also became more beautiful, and her whole, and she was covered with most beautiful clothes and wonderful jewelry all over her body. In other words, people got knowledge, they received knowledge and renunciation, knowledge about Krishna and renunciation in their hearts, and engaged in devotional service. Narad Muni asked at the beginning of the katha to the four Kumaras, please tell us the glories of this Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the four Kumaras explained the glories in this way. They said, a person, doesn't matter how sinful he has been, he may have killed the king, a brahmana, mother, father, he may have been thief, murderer, thief, taking intoxication, associating with other women, they could become purified. If they hear this attentively, they could become so purified that they can go back to Godhead. This is history. So the four Kumaras started to tell a history. They said that in South India there is one river called Tungabhadra, and on the banks of this river lived a brahmana. His name was Atmadev. He was very learned in all the Vedic literatures. He was so learned and effulgent that he was called a second son. And he was extremely wealthy. But despite everything, there was one problem, that he didn't get a good wife. One should be very careful before choosing his spouse. Otherwise, it will be a couple of one camel and one bull, and life will not go on very nicely. So his marriage was not arranged to a proper person. His wife, she was always blabbering. She was always cursing, talking. A woman should not talk so much, is not considered very good. She was always talking nonsense and cursing her husband. She would always be doing all her housework. She was this Atmadev's wife. She was a very good worker. All day she'll be working, doing housework, but she would always be cursing her husband. I have seen in my village, there was this woman, they get this cow dung and they make a patty and they put it on the wall to dry. So this woman was making these cow dung patties, sticking them on the wall, but she was cursing her husband. It was like she was chanting. She was just going on and on and on, saying so many bad things about her husband. So one of her girlfriends, they passed by and they said, "My dear sister, why are you cursing your poor husband? What did he do?" Oh, this woman, she started shouting, "What is it to you? He's my husband, I can say what I want." And she kept on working. So in this way, this Atmadev's wife, all day she was talking gram katha, she was cursing other people, her husband, but she was very good at doing her housework. Unfortunately, this husband and wife, they did not have any child. He was extremely wealthy, but he was very much in anxiety. Who will deliver us after we die? Who will deliver our ancestors? Who will give water to our ancestors? I don't have any son. So he spent half his wealth doing yagyas and charities to the brahmanas, doing pujas, but no result. He didn't have a son, neither did he get a daughter. So he was very worried. Whatever fruit used to come to his house, it used to rot very quickly. Whatever cow he would keep in his house, the cow will become barren. And if he planted any tree, it would not bear any fruit. So he was very worried. One time he was so fed up, he was so mad that he left home. He said, "Forget it, I'm so sick of it." So he walked in the forest, and when he was thirsty, he went to a pond and he drank some water, and he just sat there looking very sad and depressed, crying. And just then he saw one very effulgent, saintly person, a sannyasi, walk by. So this sannyasi, He was very effulgent. He also came to the pond, drank some water, and he sat under a tree. So this Atmadev Brahmana, he went up to this sannyasi, and he offered dandavats at his lotus feet, and he caught hold of his feet, and he started sobbing. He started sobbing like anything. Any person would, their heart will melt. But this sannyasi, especially saintly persons, have very soft heart. He became very much touched by his, this brahmana's sobbing. And he picked him up and he said, "What is your problem? Why are you crying? What's wrong?" And this brahmana said, "What can I say? I'm so sinful that I don't have a son. All my ancestors, they will go to hell. Whatever I offer in the yajna, the demigods refuse to accept it. I plant a tree, no fruit comes. And what's the use of dying? What's the use of living? I should just die." Now he's trying to do a drama, exaggerating a little bit, just to get special mercy of this sannyasi. He's saying, "I should just kill myself. Life is not worth living." So the sadhu, he became very merciful. And he looked at this brahmana's face on his forehead, and he studied his future. And he said, "Look, brahmana, you give up this ignorance. Give up this desire for sons. Give up this desire for a child. No one has ever become happy getting a son. You give up this." He tried to make him understand. He said, "There is no happiness. You take sannyas and you become happy, you wander around." Not just that, he said, not just in this life you won't have a son, but for 7 lifetimes you won't have a son. So give up this idea and just be happy. Wander around, chant, eat what you can get. Now this brahmana was so disappointed. He's saying, 7 lifetimes? He's thinking, now this sadhu is saying, 7 lifetimes I won't have a son? If he's so intelligent that he can tell, look in the future and know that for 7 lifetimes I won't have a son, that surely he is capable of doing something about it. He's capable of giving me a son. So he started doing a greater drama. He started crying more and saying, no, I'm just going to commit suicide right here at your lotus feet, and my dear sannyasi, you will get the reaction for killing of a brahmana. No, he said, "I will not take sannyas. This sannyas is the worst thing. It is a dry thing, such a dry life. I'd rather die than to take sannyas. One should have children, grandchildren, wife. I want to remain a grihastha and I want to have a son. What kind of a life is this? Just wander around, no home, no place to sleep, no place to eat. In this world, this grihastha life, is the real, the best ashram.
और हे तेजस्वी सन्यासी, सारा पाप आप पर जाएगा ब्राह्मण के मरने का।
If you don't give me the son, you will get the sinful reaction. And he held on to his feet and he started crying. I'm going to die. Then the sannyasi said, my dear Brahman, what can I do? Your ignorance is not going away. The Brahmana said, look Brahman, a son will never make you happy. I can give you a son, but I want you to know that he will never make you happy. Now the Brahmana, his eyes lit up. He says, well, he's saying he'll give me a son. Who cares if he'll not give me happiness? We will see. Maybe I'll train him up and then he will give me happiness also. So the Brahmana was thinking in his mind like that. But the sannyasi said, look, Maharaj Chitraketu, he didn't get any happiness from his son. He finally got a son, but he didn't get any happiness. Angira was given, he gave him a son by force. And Maharaj Sagar, his sons, they offended Kapil Muni. So give up. So this Brahmana, he insisted, he wants a son. So this sannyasi, he took out of his bag one piece of fruit. This was an amog fruit, a fruit that would never, that would always be successful in giving results. So he gave this amog fruit to this Atmadev and he said, give it to your wife. She'll have to follow some rules and in 1 year she will have a son. That son will be very great. He'll be a great devotee and he'll be very effulgent. You have to tell your wife for 1 year. She will, for 1 year, she should eat only once a day and she should not do any prajalpa, any village talk. And she should do engage in devotional service like that. There are many rules that she has to follow. And he told this Brahmana all these rules and gave him the fruit. So this Brahmana, he became very happy. He came home and he handed it to his wife. And he said, here's a fruit the sannyasi gave me. It's a transcendental spiritual fruit. And if you eat this fruit, in 1 year you'll have a very nice son. He'll be a very pious and effulgent son. Now this, his wife, she became very anxious. Oh, I will have a child. He wanted a son, but she didn't. He said, now eat it. And then she started to make excuses. How can I just eat it like this without taking a bath? I will take bath, do my puja, and then I'll eat. You go ahead, do your work. She was lying. I will, when I am done with my bathing and puja, I will sit down and eat this fruit with great devotion. She actually didn't want to eat the fruit. So he trusted his wife and he left to do his work. So when it was time to eat the fruit, she started thinking. And she started crying in front of her friend. Actually, it was her sister. She came to visit her. And she started crying in front of her sister, saying, my dear sister, my husband has given me this fruit, this prasad. And he said, if I eat this fruit, then I'll be pregnant and I will have a son. Now see, if I eat this fruit, I will get pregnant and then my tummy will become big and then I won't be able to do my work. And then when some dacoits, they attack the village, everyone will run away, but because I'll have a big tummy, I will not be able to run away. Anyway, if my tummy is big and I'm not able to eat much, I will have no strength. How will I do all my work? How will I do my housework? If all the women were like her in this world, there would be no progeny. But she was more concerned about her housework. She was more worried about her housework. She actually didn't want to have anything to do with having a child. And because she was the wife of the Brahmana, she used to hear sometimes katha, and then she said, if like Sukadev Goswami, if my child doesn't want to come out for 14 years, I will just die just like that. Sukadev Goswami stayed in his mother's womb for a long time. She had heard Bhagavad Katha, so she was familiar. And then she said sometimes the mother dies at childbirth. And then she says, all these rules my husband has told me, these are like a mountain for me. Eating less, not talking, bathing every day, eating once a day where I eat four times a day. How can I work if I just eat once a day? I can't do all this bathing, keeping clean, keeping my mouth shut. And I'm very tender, my body is very tender. I will not be able to carry so much weight on my tummy. And I've heard that childbirth is very painful, so I don't want to go through all that. So in this way she was giving all the wrong arguments. And then she says, so suppose I do have a son, and then I have to bring him up, I have to clean his stool and urine. And saying in this way, she was crying and speaking in this way and crying more. So her sister, she said, now listen, we have a solution here. Your husband will ask, did you eat fruit or not? So, and she said, yes, this is my anxiety. If I don't eat and there is no pregnancy, then he might beat me. Then her sister, she gave one very nice suggestion. She said, listen, I'm pregnant. So do one thing. So every day you can tie a cloth and make your tummy little bigger. And I'm pregnant, so and my husband is very poor and your husband is very wealthy. So I'll have my baby a few days before yours, little before yours, supposed to. So I will make a noise that my newborn child died. And I will give my child to you. So then you can show your husband that, see, you've got your baby. And then I will come, I will tell my husband that my child died, but I still have, because I had the baby, I have breast milk, so I will come every day to your house. They lived in the same village. So she said, I'll come every day to your house and feed the baby and clean him up and do all the chores. And just to test the fruit, we'll give the fruit to the cow. And you can give some money to my husband because we are poor. And you can explain to your husband that I don't know why I didn't get any breast milk. So my sister's baby died. She will come every day and feed the baby. So she gave the fruit to the cow. Husband came. But because only his wife and the sister, two people, knew of this incidents, nobody else knew. And Chanakya Pandit, he says, if something is heard in 4 years, two sets of years, or four years, it's possible that nobody else will know. But if something is heard by 6 years or three people, then it's possible that the word will get around and everybody will find out. And if something is only heard by, is kept within one person or 2 years, then even Lord Brahma cannot find out of this incident. He does something and he does not tell anybody, then nobody will find out unless he tells somebody. And if two people, and if he tells to one person, if two people know these things, and he might say, I'm just telling you, but don't tell anybody, but he will tell somebody, and he will tell somebody, and then soon everybody will know. So when this child was born, her sister's son, she came and gave the child to this Brahmana's, Atmadev's wife, and Atmadev's wife's name was Dhunduli. So Atmadev named his son Dhundukari, and this Dhundukari, he grew up to be a greatest rogue. He turned out to be a great khal. He will go and set fire to somebody's house. He will pick up somebody's baby to play with him, and he will drop him in a well and kill him. He used to walk with the dog. This walking with a dog is very sinful. This Dhundukari used to always walk with the dog. In Padma Puran, it is said that Dhundukari used to walk with a dog. A saintly person does not walk with a dog. He used to steal, loot people. And when he grew up, 16, 18, he brought 5 prostitutes into his house. He brought 5 prostitutes into the house to live with him. And he told his father, hand over all your money. When this Dhundukari was born, after a few days, the cow gave birth to a human child with ears like a cow. This cow gave this birth to a wonderful saintly person who had ears like a cow. So he was named Gokarna. Go means cow, and Karna means ears. This Gokarna was a very saintly person. He was very effulgent because he was born from the sannyasi's fruit. So this father, Dhundukari's, so this Atmadev, he was in great anxiety. what should I do? My son is so bad. He has brought these prostitutes in the house and he has taken over all my money by force. I cannot live in this house. So he approached Gokarna and Gokarna advised him, why don't you go? Leave home, don't live here. Leave home and go hear Srimad Bhagavatam and you will not find any happiness living with your son. So Atmadev Brahmana, he actually left his house. And so his mother was at home. And one day, when this Dhundhakari did not have any money, he approached his mother and he said, where have you hidden the money? Give me all the money. And he beat up his mother so much and that she became so miserable that she jumped in the well and she killed herself. Dhundhakari was living with the five prostitutes and they wanted more and more money. So now he had become a total rogue, more of a rogue. He would go out every day and he would steal and murder and bring money. He would bring a lot of money and gold and give it to these women. He stole so much that his house was full of gold and coins and money and wealth and silver, that these five prostitutes, they started to become in anxiety and they thought, well, you know, if the police ever comes and searches the house, they will not only capture this Dhundhakari, they will also put us in jail. So they decided to get rid of him. So they decide to do something terrible to this Dhundhakari. That night, so at night, all five of them, they decided to kill him at home. So they got from the fire the coal, burning hot coal, they stuffed it in his mouth, and he died. He suffered so much, and finally he died. So they buried him in the same house. They dug some ground and they buried him right there. So sometimes the neighbors will come and they'll say, where is this Dhundhakari? We don't see him. And they would say, oh, he went far away for some business. He's going to come after some time. And these prostitutes, they told everybody that he's going to come back in 1 year. So slowly they took away all the wealth from that house. They went somewhere and they left the house. And this Dhundhakari, of course, he became a ghost alone in the house. He used to suffer so much. In this ghostly bodies, one suffers a lot. So one day this Gokarna, he came back from his pilgrimage. He came back to the house and he was sleeping. And sometimes, so this Dhundhakari would try to disturb him to get his attention, sometimes in the form of wind, sometimes in the form of a bull, sometimes in the form of an elephant, sometimes in the form of a sheep. He would appear to Gokarna and he was not able to speak. So Gokarna, the saintly Gokarna, he understood that some living entity has has unfortunately received this body and is in difficulty. So he had some Ganges water with him, and he sprinkled some Ganges water. So this personality had then now had the ability to speak. So Dhundakari, he spoke to his he considered his Gokarna to be his brother, and he spoke to Gokarna, and he started to plead. He said, "Please, my brother Gokarna, please deliver me somehow, deliver me from this miserable condition. I am suffering so much." And Gokarna, he said, "I had heard that you had died, so I went to Gaya. I went to Gaya and I did so many offerings for you, but still you are not delivered. How come?" So Dhundakari said, "Even you did one offering in Gaya, even if you did 100 such offerings of Pinda Dan for me, even if you did 100 of them, it would not, I would still not be delivered, because I am such a sinful person." So this Dhundakari told Gokarna, "Please find some other way to deliver me. This Pindadan in Gaya is not going to work for me." So Gokarna said, in the morning he asked the Brahmanas what he should do. So all the Brahmanas used to come with their books, look in their books as to what would deliver him, and they said, "This is impossible, nothing will deliver him. He's too sinful. Everything that he's done, he cannot be delivered." At the end, then Gokarna, he prayed to the sun god. He stopped the movement of the sun.